Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a small crew this morning. I will be playing the role of Carol to start out the service this morning. She and Harris were a little under the weather, so they didn't make it this morning. And we also have a guest pianist, Gary. Thank you for filling in for us today. Alice, as you know, has been going through some health issues, and she had a blood test the other week that didn't come back with the results anyone expected. So she has to isolate herself until Monday and go back to the doctor and get retested and try to sort out what's going on. So she's taking a break, and we wish the most for her, certainly good health. She's had plenty on her plate. So do we have any announcements this morning? I haven't looked over here. Go over the cheat sheet. I'll ask that you enter any prayer requests for December on the back stand, and hope that we'll see you in Sunday school after service, and to count your blessings during this holiday season. Are there any joys and concerns? No? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship with the ringing of the bell. Thank you, Gary. That's beautiful. If you're able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. The time is surely coming when our love for one another and all of God's children will increase.
We await that time with hope and joy.
The day is surely coming when God will strengthen our hearts with humility and holiness. The days are surely coming when we will walk the paths of faithfulness and steadfast love.
We will begin this journey with thankfulness, knowing that all of God's promises will surely be fulfilled.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent. As such, today we light the hope candle. Please hear this scripture reading from Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hope looks to God and waits on Him with a firm expectation that He will fulfill His promises. Allied with hope are the ideas of faith and patience, endurance and trust, of joy and a settled peace that God will do as He says He will do. Israel had been beaten down by a succession of world powers: Babylon, Persia, the Greeks, and now Rome. In their distress, they call out, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Yet in the cry, there is hope, a strong expectation that God will keep His promises to send a Messiah, a deliverer. The hope is fulfilled on the first Christmas day when Jesus is born in Bethlehem. God's Savior sent to planet Earth to save us from our sins and deliver us from whatever oppresses us. People live in hope of one who can help them. Jesus is that person, present today by the Holy Spirit to deliver us from any need. He is the one we hope for. Please pray with me. Father, thank You for sending Jesus into our world, our hope of glory, our blessed hope, our hope of resurrection and eternal life. In His name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're able, please join me in the opening hymn, Come Thou Almighty King, number 61 in our hymnal. Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious God, to You alone we lift up our praise. In You alone we place our trust. For You alone we wait all the day long. For You are the source of our redemption, abounding in mercy and steadfast love. Help us remain alert and watchful for the coming of your promised one, the one who comes with power and glory, the one drawing near to bring our salvation, the one for whom the whole world awaits and in whom our eternal hope rests. Amen. Now join me in singing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 196 in your hymnal. You may be seated. Well, as we discussed last week, our nephew Tony Cadilli had been admitted to the hospital with COVID and put on a ventilator, and unfortunately he's still there, so we need continued prayers for Tony. Of course, as I mentioned with Alice, we need continued prayers there as well, and also for Rachel's sister, Judy Smith, who is still suffering with health issues. We had planned on an administrative board meeting after church today, but that's been delayed because of Alice's health issue. I'm not sure when that will occur, but as soon as she's available, we'll get back at it. I did have some fun watching football yesterday. It's one of the things I like to do, college football. I watched an amazingly good game. It wasn't Michigan State, even though they won in the snow. That was pretty entertaining to watch the guys slide hither and yon. University of Michigan, the Wolverines, slaughtered Ohio State. And that was quite enjoyable. Oh, one of the few minor pleasures that I enjoy. I probably shouldn't enjoy as much as I do, but when the good team wins and the other one loses, I think that's a win for everybody. So, and with that win, University of Michigan cinched the title for the East Division of the Big Ten. We'll see what happens when they come to the playoffs, but that was great. Of course, it's always funny in a sport like football. You would think that since Michigan State beat Michigan, and Michigan beat Ohio State, Michigan State would have done well against Ohio State instead of being totally humiliated on national TV. So anyone can win on any given day, I guess. I'd like to invite you into a time of prayer. We'll lead off with silent prayer. I'll then lead you in a pastoral prayer. And as usual, we'll close together with the Lord's Prayer. Please pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize Advent as a time for remembering, reflecting on, and preparing for the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's also a time to contemplate His promised second coming and what that might mean to each of us. Father, as we go through this period, I pray that You will turn our hearts toward You. Let us not get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the material aspects of this season and miss the chance to celebrate the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that You sent to us on that first Christmas. Oh God, through Your prophets, You heralded the coming of the Son of Man, which were supported and reinforced through wondrous signs in the heavens and of the earth, all of which prepared Your people and gave them hope. As we await Christ's return, let us not grow weary or give in to despair, so that we, in the company of the faithful and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, may be found ready and acceptable when that day arrives. Father God, Scripture points to the eternal gift of hope that we have because of Christ Jesus. The Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of Your plan to redeem Your people and restore them into a relationship with You. But we are only able to truly begin to see and understand just how great Your love for us is when we read the story of Jesus' birth. And we're so grateful for that. Through the details of His birth, You showed us what is truly important. You didn't send Him to arrive in a fancy palace among the wealthy and the elite. Instead, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords was born among common shepherds and livestock in a barn. During this holiday season, enable us to seek similar simple and upright ways to honor You and celebrate Him, and to show our appreciation for this immeasurable gift that You've given to all of us. Merciful Lord, we continue to suffer with health issues, especially the COVID virus, which has now developed a new variant. We pray that You will keep us safe from this disease and will be with all of those that are already suffering from it. Guide and direct those who are actively working to stem its impact, and direct those in positions of power to take appropriate action to limit its spread. Also be with those treating the ill, giving them the strength to continue their important work and bring about the healing we so much desire. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Now hear us together as we recite the prayer that Your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please join me in singing "Come Now, O Prince of Peace," number 2232, in "The Faith We Sing."
first reading is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Yea, let none that wait for thee be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day long. Be mindful of thy mercy, O Lord, and of thy steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy steadfast love, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Our second reading is from Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a snare, for it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
It's now time for our healing prayer. As usual, I'll lead off the prayer and then pause so that you can raise the names of those in your hearts and minds this morning. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Alice, Tony, Carol, and Harris. Judy Smith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. It's now time for our offering. We have the baskets in the back due to COVID still, but we still want to offer up a doxology and then a prayer. Thank you. Heavenly Father, please accept these, our gifts, and our very lives in your service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry. We do have a hymn to sing still. 2009, The Faith We Sing, O God Beyond All Praising. You may be seated. Well done. Our message scripture this morning is Jeremiah 33:14-16, found on page 699 of your pew Bibles. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hope is the word of the day. It's the beginning of Advent. Hope is defined as wanting something to either happen or to be true, and to expect its occurrence with confidence. In short, it's desire accompanied by expectation of fulfillment. Hope is not wishful thinking. Even though we may not have any control over whether or not the thing occurs, hope waits and endures. It isn't flimsy or fragile. Hope is durable. It can withstand tragedies, trials, and despair. Hope derives from faith. Faith in the one who promised the thing or the result. Faith in the one whose word and commitment has always proven true in the past. Faith in the potential for deliverance from your current undesired situation. Hope gives us the ability to continue in our daily endeavors, to continue in our routine lives, to strive for something better than we're currently experiencing, to work and wait for relief and release from whatever is oppressing or depressing you. Hope is the essential motivation that keeps us going when everything else comes up short. It's what we rely on when everything else fails. According to Paul David Tripp in his New Morning Mercies devotional I've been reading online for the past year, according to his November 26th message, which I read the other day, when God created Adam and Eve, he placed them in a perfect place, and they enjoyed a perfect relationship with God. It was a place with no pollution or disease, no injustice or corruption, no hatred or violence. They lived in a world that was in a constant state of peace, the way things were meant to be. But it apparently wasn't enough for them. They wanted more, just like all of us tend to at one time or another. They wanted more. So they stepped over the one boundary that God had set up for them and ate the fruit that was forbidden. God had every right to judge them, and he did. But that wasn't the end of the story. He didn't leave them cast out with no hope of redemption. Immediately after their rebellion, God announced that he was not only going to judge sin, he was going to defeat it forever. In Genesis 3:15, God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, you will strike his heel." Who's the offspring of the woman mentioned here? It's the son of Mary, the son of David, the son of man, the son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. Where did the devil strike his heel? It took place on that hill called Golgotha, outside the walls of Jerusalem. On the cross, Jesus was struck, but the enemy was defeated forever. Yes, Jesus died, but death couldn't hold him. And with resurrection power, he now reigns until the final enemy is under his feet and he returns again. God didn't evict Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden without hope. He also didn't ask Abraham to leave everything he ever knew and journey to a new, unknown land without hope. In Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." In this verse, God promised Abraham that he would make him into a great nation, and that all people on earth would be blessed through him. This points to the one who would redeem people from every tribe and tongue on the face of the earth, providing the blessing of salvation to all who believe. He also didn't lead the Hebrews out of Egypt without hope, providing continual assurance through his words, through signs and wonders, all along the way. And throughout time, God continued to take care of their needs and provide more and more information regarding the coming of the promised Messiah. Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." This prophecy, written by Hosea approximately 800 years before Christ's birth, looks both backward and forward. It remembers when God brought the Hebrews out of bondage in Egypt, but also talks about how Joseph and Mary will flee to Egypt with the baby Jesus to avoid the slaughter of the children by Herod. And this was verified in Matthew 2:14-15. In Micah 5:2, we see that the prophet declared, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." This let the Hebrews know where the Messiah would be born, also approximately 800 years in advance. And through Isaiah 7:14, God informed all of his people, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Pointing to both the manner in which the Messiah would be born, and also to the one of the names given to him, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This indicated both his human birth and his divine nature some 700 years before his arrival, once again giving his people hope. Today we remember the hope shared by the house of Israel and the house of Judah as they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. Our scripture reading states that the Lord told Jeremiah that the days are coming when I will fulfill the promise I made to them. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This promise, along with all of the others, was not only known, but fully understood and counted upon by the Hebrews, both in Israel and Judah. Together, they provided insight and information about something and someone that was highly desired and imminently expected. They counted on God to fulfill his promises, and that expectation gave them hope, regardless of their circumstances. Even in the midst of their exile in Babylon, they had hope. And in their later days, closer to the time of fulfillment, when they were under Roman rule, they still remained hopeful. When Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, finally did come, it was exactly as it had been foretold, a babe born to a virgin in Bethlehem, who had to flee at a very young age to Egypt and later return to grow up in Nazareth before beginning his ministry among them, then dying to remove the sins of the world and to be resurrected in power, putting an end to death forever, not only for the Jews, but for all humanity. And that's amazing. That's hope fulfilled. That's the best story ever told, but that's not the end of it. Even though the Jews never recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, totally rejecting him and putting him to death, God didn't leave them without hope. Nor did he leave the disciples in the upper room without hope. And he doesn't leave us in this time and place also without hope either. Because we're told by Jesus himself that he would send the Holy Spirit to comfort us while he's away, which he did at Pentecost. And that he will come again at the end of the age. And that's what we now await during this Advent season. Advent, as you know, is a time of penitence and fasting as we remember the original coming of Jesus into the world at Bethlehem as our righteous Savior, in his coming as the Messiah to the Jews. But it's also a time during which we await and long for the second coming, his second coming in his final victory, in his continual coming into the hearts and lives of believers through the Holy Spirit. As we progress through this special period of preparation, we'll focus on weekly themes of hope, peace, love, and joy. This being the first week of Advent, we lit the candle of hope, also known as the prophecy candle. It assures us that we can have hope that God will fulfill the prophecies declared about Jesus' return, just as he did the first coming. In this day and age, when evil appears to abound, disease is running rampant, and for many, all seems lost, I can assure you that we can still have hope. We can have hope because we have faith in God, and God is always trustworthy. He's the same today, tomorrow, and always, wanting nothing but the best for us. Romans 5:1-5 states, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, we're able to be called children of God and have life eternal. What a marvelous gift. Even so, hope is not always an easy thing to have. When times get tough, it's often easier to give up rather than persist, isn't it? It may seem unrealistic to still have hope and faith when facing enormous obstacles and challenges like many of us do today. But regardless what we feel or think, God is always there. Jesus is still our righteous Savior, and he is coming again. We don't know the date or time, but be assured he is coming. It's our duty to believe that and rely on it. It's our job to not only have hope in our risen Lord, but to share it with others. We are God's eyes, ears, voice, and hands in this world. We're the ones working in his fields and growing his kingdom. Through this Advent season, it's up to us to not only remember and celebrate Jesus' birth, but also to delight in the blessings of his sacrifice, along with the joy provided by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and to rejoice in Jesus' promise to come again. Have hope. God loves us. He wants the best for us. And when the time is right, Jesus will return. Amen. If you're able, please rise to join in the final closing hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, number 211 in the hymnal. I would like to thank Rachel for our newsletter, which is found in the back. We will have Sunday school after coffee. And I'd like to also thank our grandson Keegan for helping with our decorations for this week. Please join me in the benediction printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, as we depart, give us a pure heart so that we may see you, a humble heart so that we may hear you, a loving heart so that we may serve you, and a faithful heart so that we may abide in you now and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.